الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to our namaz and correcting our namaz, we discussed how we should stand and three particular points we must keep in mind, and still we see nobody, we just don't pay attention. We don't think, we're just standing still anyhow. That the 2 feet must be in line. And if it's Jamaat namaz, the whole saf must be straight. And both feet must be facing Qibla. And both feet must be 4 fingers apart. But still we're just standing, we just come and we stand on the saf and we don't concern. At least when we go in ruku, we should see my feet are not straight. One is front, one is back. One is facing this side, one is facing that side. We should become conscious. Till we don't become conscious in anything, we can't improve. And if we're not conscious, it will become worse all the time. Allah give us tawfiq that we, our namazes we make correct. Then after that was the raising of the hands, the rafa yadain, and it must be with the thumbs, where our nails of our thumb must touch the lobes of the ears. And we must be facing Qibla. It mustn't be backwards, sideways, etc. And then fastening the hands must be fastened very neatly, how the seat belts are fastened. More than what we are worried of the seat belts when we're traveling in car, we must be more worried about fastening our hands properly. And that is that the right hand must be over the left hand, and the 3 fingers just where the wrist ends, it must be there for properly together, and you must grasp the hand. That you saw, consciously grasp the hand, not just place our fingers. But the thumb and the index finger, we should grasp our hand here. And the other, the left hand, 3 fingers, or the whole hand should be behind the hand, not below the hand, which is very, very common. It should be behind the hand. And we should just drop it fully, by which it will be below the navel, and that is for the ahnaf. And we are explaining moreover from the ahnaf point of view. The other mazhab should find out from their ulama what the correct things are. Don't just we learn namaz as little children. Officially, in most of us, we didn't learn namaz. We just saw how other people are making. Many times, you're fortunate that little child, with his mother, he should make namaz. So how the woman make, he also makes like that. He didn't even think, I must now, how do men make namaz? Since I'm a child, when I grew up, from whom did I learn namaz? Am I just making it like that? One is a person, many, many small children, they drive already when they're still very young. They know how to drive. But with that, you can't pass a driving test. You'll have to learn the rules properly. And then you'll be able to pass the learner's, pass the driver's test. So this also we must learn so that our namaz is made correctly. And after that, when we are now in a standing position, focus our eyes on the place of sajda. When we will do that, the head's position will be in the right place. Otherwise, a person drops his head down. And in Ibn Abidin Shami's fatawa, وَلَا يَتَتَعْتَعُ بِرَأْسِهِ, he must not lower his head. And some people, we drop it down to show the humbleness. That is not permissible. The head must stand, must be up. And it mustn't be up also like with pride that you are standing. You push your chest out and your back, standing like a proud person. If you just keep your eyes on the place of sajda, the exact correct position will be obtained. And also our head, we must not tilt it to the right or tilt it to the left. It must be just correct, straight. And we must be looking at the sajda place that will make it correct. And then focus on the sajda place. That is a very important thing. And not only for our namaz to be correct, if we do that, many aspects of our spiritual life, we have got pride in us. Some of us recognize we got pride. Most of us don't recognize we have got pride also. Many of us don't know what is pride also. We can't go with pride with a dictionary meaning. We have to go with pride, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined pride as. That ghamtun nas batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. That you don't accept the truth. When somebody told you you've made a mistake, yeah. And then you take off with him, and what about you? You do this mistake and that mistake. Or you try and justify yourself. You try, when it's proven clearly to you are told, think about properly. We saw our great, great elders, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Somebody told him some about namaz, for example, one particular aspect. Then I told Hazrat, people are saying this. He said, fine, I'll check the kitabs and see where am I doing right or wrong. Not just that rejected it, we know. We are now so old and whole life we have been making namaz, we know better. And who are you today to come and tell me? No, they checked up. And Hazrat many times announced and said also, my Messiah, I keep regular contact with the Darul Iftas. And I asked them, the Messiah, Hazrat was an exceptionally great alim in every aspect of deen. But still, he said, I ask my masalas. I don't trust myself also. Because your nafs can easily play havoc with you and you want to justify yourself what you are doing. So Hazrat should find out. So so the namaz also, we should, somebody with some mistake, then listen, batrul haq, don't just deny. And ghamtun nas, to look down upon people. That is what is the pride, according to Sharia. Much more detail, inshallah, that is an important subject which we will discuss. And then when we are in a standing position also, then you should be motionless. The Sahaba in the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit like though they were trees. Like a bird will come in, sit on them. There was no movement. Like a statue. They just were firm like that. And we, in our namaz, Al-Amanul Hafiz, how many people who we regard exceptionally as very, very great and pious, but the minute Allahu Akbar, immediately after that, scratching here. Or doing something else like that. In the Hadith Sharif it comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person who was playing with his beard. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, this person hasn't got Allah in his heart. If Allah was in your heart, it was impossible for you that you start playing with your beard, scratching here or anything like that. But this is a common thing, many of us. Namaz must be made with as least movement as possible. We are standing, قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. With total humility, humbleness, you should be standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. And when we are playing with our beard, etc., scratching, etc., and itching will come, you will feel. One of the tests will be a small test. So when you feel like you have want to scratch yourself, so just tell yourself that now I'm in namaz, I can't, and scratching, everyone enjoys scratching himself. So tell yourself, I can't scratch how I would like to scratch, I'm in namaz. So after namaz, I'll scratch to my heart's satisfaction. And immediately after that, that itching is gone away. And if you don't, then it's here, and it's everywhere. And your whole namaz, you'll destroy like that. Namaz must be, when you're standing in front of Allah, Mahmud Ghaznawi, rahmatullah alayhi, the great, famous, just, a pious ruler, once having a consultation, mashura with his ministers. During the cause of the minister, one of the ministers was putting his button right. Mahmud Ghaznawi, the king, became so angry with him. When you making mashura with me, you sitting in my majlis, how could your thought go to your button or something else? Your full devotion should have been to me. The next time you do it, I fire you from the post. You won't be my minister. You are my minister and I'm making mashura with you and your thought is gone somewhere else. Your thought and what we are discussing, such an important matter. How could your thought go anywhere else? In namaz, we should think, and this is the height of the concentration of namaz, that I'm in a meeting, I'm in a consultation, I'm with my Allah. Allah is giving me His full attention, and my thoughts are going here or there. It's impossible how Mahmud Ghaznavi, a king of this world, pious, great, honorable, but he said, I'll fire you the next time. And Allah also says, when we start our namaz and our thoughts are gone this side, that side, Allah says, my banda, I'm here exclusive for you. You found somebody better than me. You found somebody more kind, somebody more greater, that your mind is gone somewhere else. I've come and I've called you to my house. You are in my house and I'm giving you my full attention. And everyone gets his full attention. If we just think of this, it will be very easy for us to concentrate. How when Allah is present and I'm thinking about what terrible things I'm thinking, and my Allah knows what I'm thinking about. And if somebody has to come to find out what we were thinking. If it was such that when we're making namaz, there are screens on the wall in front. And whatever we are thinking is showing on the screen. And everyone can see what you're thinking about while you're in namaz. Allah covered our faults. Otherwise, what should be our condition? What we are thinking about? And Allah knows exactly what we are thinking. And we say that I'm standing lillah, only for Allah Ta'ala. And we're doing everything for everyone besides Allah. We declare that my namaz is exclusively for Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Everything of mine is only for Allah. But practically our life is everything for everyone else besides Allah Ta'ala. So Allah make it that our namaz, we can make it properly. Then in namaz, no scratching while in a standing position, and the rest also. Mostly this happens in a standing position. And then another thing, even if you want to cough or yawn, as far as possible, control it. When you have to, and then don't open your mouth so wide. Just put your hand over, cover your mouth if you have to yawn. But try your best not to yawn. The yawning also is not a good sign. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam never yawned in their lives. Though their mujahada was the greatest, the sleep they hardly got, but they did not yawn. Then a person thinks of it, that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam did not yawn. By the barakat of that amal, Allah will save us. But we, when we yawn, how we open our mouth. One person, he was selling some medicine to kill mosquitoes. Like in India, Pakistan, maybe many other places also, mostly third world countries, in the buses at the bus stand. The person has got the art of advertising it also. I've got this medicine to kill mosquitoes. You just buy this medicine and no mosquitoes will trouble you. So one person, like a very up-to-date person, three-piece suit, three-button jacket, and a double-breast jacket, he bought also, he said, 1 rupee to kill mosquitoes, naak mein dam kar diya hai. The way they trouble us, we can't sleep at night. Yeah, I got this medicine, let me buy this medicine from him. So he went, he bought it, and then he said, I didn't ask him instructions. Let me ask him the instruction. So he went, yeah, you see, you, a person like this, such a big graduate, and you look such an up-to-date person, you don't know, it's so easy. He said, when the mosquito come, you just catch it. And you open its mouth so wide. And you throw this medicine in its mouth. And if it doesn't die, you bring that mosquito to me. He said, you think we eat haram? We're selling you just all fake medicine. If that mosquito doesn't die, you bring that medicine, mosquito to me. Now, who's going to catch it and open the mosquito's mouth so wide? But like when we're making namaz, our mouths are so wide open. Like we're going to eat up everything. And besides namaz, when we become careless, then we don't think namaz, that I'm in namaz. I can't open my mouth so wide. But when we become careless, we'll see a person goes further and further and does things which he won't do in public. He does that in namaz. Namaz, we must be very careful. How at home in your bedroom, perhaps you yawn, you stretch your hand. That is also not a way person whose tarbiyat is done, who's cultured. Even there, he's in front of the malaika present. Allah is present in front of him. And besides his wife, and a wife is not one to be treated like a maid. She is a woman to be respected. And you can't just treat her anyhow and just do anything and everything you want to in front of her. You should respect your wife also. So in namaz, the standing position, if you want to yawn or cough, and coughing also is so contagious, if there is anything contagious. One person starts coughing, another person, a third person, and you find the whole jamaat, everyone starts coughing. Same thing with scratching. If you start scratching, another person feels, he also starts scratching. And if you train yourself, the whole jamaat can be of the picture of Qumu Lillahi Qanitin, that you stand with great utmost humility, utmost respect in front of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala, when we do certain things, like in namaz, we don't pay attention to Allah. Then after a time, Allah leaves us. He doesn't also pay attention to us. When our rukus and sajdas are not correct, Allah doesn't pay attention to that namaz. There are those namazes that are فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. They are wail, destruction for the people who are making namaz. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who are unmindful of their namaz. Sahun, unmindful. Ulama have written so much on it. A person who doesn't make his namaz, so he makes it, doesn't make it, he just makes it haphazardly, no concentration in his namaz. So Allah, that namaz brings destruction to a person. So we should be very careful. So our standing position also, we should do it properly. And then after that, when we discuss, when we go into ruku, how the posture must be when we go into ruku. And all of these things are not to be taken for granted. And that what Maulana is talking so much about namaz, small boys make namaz, they all know how to make namaz. Reality is that kafan bardosh ho gayi, lekin abhi marna nahi seekha. A person has died already, they gave him ghusl, they put on his kafan, but he hasn't learned how to die still. Haj karke aaye, lekin abhi haj karna seekha nahi. A person came back from haj, he's a hajisa. And before agents of the hajis, they should give them certificates. Now you're a haji. You got your certificate, you're a haji, but you still don't know how to, you don't know how to. You don't know the rules of haji also. There are those people we met, they don't know whether haji is in Makkah Sharif or in Medina Sharif. They got no idea, you got no idea how many of the hajis till now, they don't know labbaik. And of all the du'as, labbaik is a faraz du'a. If you don't know it, let somebody read it for you. But actually, you should learn. And there isn't only the one version of labbaik which is most common and which we read. There are very beautiful other versions also of labbaik. And this is what we should be trying to read. So we are already dying and we don't know how to die still. It is like, for example, perhaps today you order your driver's license also sitting at home behind your laptop. And your license get delivered at home. And you don't even know that the driver, where must he sit? In the driver's seat or the passenger seat? Or you have so many backseat drivers. Or you became a backseat driver and you're getting your license delivered to you already. You don't know what is the clutch and what is the brake and which is the accelerator. You don't know how to put on your indicators or the wipers. Like many people make mistakes. You're used to your wiper indicator, wiper lever is on the right, left. You do opposite. And when you want to turn, instead of putting the indicator, you put your wipers on. So you don't know anything, but you got your license already. So just like that, we are namazis for so many years. I'm 50 years, no qaza namaz I got. But we haven't still learned how to make namaz also. And this, if we become conscious, the fortunate are those to whom Allah makes it to register. Just like it comes in the Hadith Sharif, and this is what should be happening to us, that very fortunate is that person whom Allah opens to him his mistakes, his faults, his gunas. In other words, a person cannot see his own faults. He cannot see his own gunas. Many a person is doing the worst wrong things and thinking I'm doing very good things. And you're doing the complete wrong thing and you're thinking you're doing the right thing. When Allah opens it, then that consciousness comes. Then that person himself, he will correct his life. If I know there's something stuck in my nose now, if I know it, I will never come in sit here. I'll first go to the bathroom, go and blow my nose first. So if I know I got something wrong, we'll be worried about. Until that is not there, we can give bayans, we can listen to bayans, we can write kitabs, we can read kitabs. It won't make a difference in our life. And we should ask Allah that, oh Allah, open my faults on me. And don't open my faults in front of other people. Today it is that all others seeing our faults, and we seeing other people's faults, nobody seeing their own faults. Until that does not happen, Islah cannot take place. Until a person doesn't start seeing his own faults, only then Islah can take place. Today the common whole scenario is, everyone, me, all of us, we seeing everyone else's faults. But our own faults, we don't see them. That's why I don't think I have to, who of us think that I have to correct my namaz? We take it for granted. My namaz is right. I don't have to correct it. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to our rozas, we have to keep roza, and roza will become a roza also only when we realize that I have to keep a roza. Otherwise, just to stay hungry, little children also stay hungry. And they become keen and they are very passionate about, they'll cry that we didn't wake them up every time. And they didn't get up and they didn't eat. They cry about it. They are passionate. But what is roza to them? Half a roza. They only till lunchtime perhaps. And then they may keep 2 half rozas in a day. All the gradual procedure. Then afterwards, mashallah, everyone keeps a full roza. But we cannot stop anywhere. Till what we have to go on to improve our rozas. Then our rozas will be keeping a better quality of roza. We'll be making a better quality of namaz. If we are conscious, in fact our very Islah also is such a thing, nobody in the world can say that my Islah is done now. Now I don't have to go into the majlis of my Shaykh, or I don't have to worry about my Islah. The minute a person thinks my Islah is done, that is, he starts dropping immediately. Like you take a ball and you throw it up. According to the power, strength and force behind the ball, you threw it up. The weight of the ball, there are so many factors. It will go up, up, up all the time. And when it won't carry on all the time. When that force with which you threw it, and according to its weight and the atmospheric pressure in that place, it will go to a certain extent. And then it will never stay there. And it will come down faster than what it went up. The same way, if we worry about our Islah, and we keep on worrying, and how much we have put in, and in here is very, very important. Remember that 99% is perspiration, the murid's efforts. And the Shaykh's effort is 1% of inspiration, to guide you, to encourage you, to make you feel that I'm doing nothing, I have to do something. That is 1%. And 99% must come from your side. And that 1% also must be the right inspiration. If you are in a khanqa where they only reading wazifas, that is important. And you may read your wazifas, you make your zikr, everything is okay. Whether your dressing changes or not, doesn't matter. Once we were in Nairobi, and our host, Maulana Mutiur Rasul Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, make a lot of dua for his health. Maulana's health is not good at all. So he told us that there is a Burda Jamaat in Nairobi. All the people get together on a Thursday night, and they all read Qasida Burda Sharif. And that is our food. When I heard that, I said, we will go there. We'll go and attend that Burda, Ahle Burda. The Ahle Burda, they call them. So they were all reading, about maybe 60, 70 people, 80 people. Everyone read part and complete the whole Qasida Burda Sharif in that one sitting. After that we left. I said, Manana, how long is this carrying on? He said, so many years. Many, many years. I can't recall how long. But I say, so many no beards they got. So now you're reading Qasida Burda Sharif, great love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you are reading with passion also, and with release and enjoyment, and it's really enjoyable. But it hasn't brought a beard on a person, it hasn't brought sunnat clothes on a person, and namazes, the way it looks, the timing also, those also are really particular of the namaz, will go make their namaz. Otherwise it's in a house. So I did my Qasida Burda, my Isha also. Like people with Qawwali, and they go in a hal. They go in a very high spiritual state when in the Qawwali. But no Isha, no Fajr also. One person was getting lot of hal and jumping and performing there. So it was causing a disturbance to everyone else there also. So one person said, I'll sort him out. So he went, he just whispered few words in his ear. And that person, immediately all his hal was gone. And he was now a proper normal person, and he walked home immediately. So they asked, now, what did you tell him? He said, don't worry, what you wanted your problem to be solved is solved. They say, no, if we face another problem in the future, then we know what to do. So I say, you are jumping so high, but don't you know your trouser is torn at the best? And everyone is seeing everything there, what they're not supposed to see. Immediately he came out of his hal. Now which hal is this? Our Shaykh said, tera hal chaal hai. It's a trick. You have maksad tera maal hai. You want to just leave the people, oh, this is a very great, he gets hal. He's in a trance and he's listening to all this. So all that, that is all fake things. And many what are regarded as big pious people are all, it is big fake people. And the more they are dressed, very dressy also. And the more they look like so big buzurs from your dressing, you can see, in most cases they are all completely fake people. One person told his Sheikh Pirsab that he was just not living in the murid's house. He's just staying there. Because from the window he saw, he's got 21 chickens in the fowl run. So till I don't finish this 21 chickens, one chicken a day, I can't leave from here. So the murid made of my Sheikh now, his eyes are on my chickens. And he's not going to leave till he doesn't finish the 21. So he was crying very profusely. Sheikh asked him, what's happened? Why are you crying? He said, you won't come back to my house. He said, what? Why are you making bad gumani? Your house, mashallah, how are you hosting me? How are you looking? I will never ever give up this house. I'll always come here. He says, when you're not going, then how are you going to come? So you're just staying here, you're not going, so how are you going to come back again? So we just get all overtaken by things, and we don't see our own faults. So anyway, our rozas, the first part to keep a proper roza of the ulama, I've written 6 points. One of them is roza of the eyes also. And that is very, very important. We who are here in the masjid, today a time has come where we also have to be careful. Otherwise we are in the masjid, there are no females around, no female workers, cleaners of the masjid. Some places, unfortunately, they keep the cleaners of the masjid also females. And females in their various conditions come into the masjid also. So, but here there aren't any females. But today, Shaitan has worked so much that he has brought all the females in your phone. You just with one or two clicks, and what don't you see? And unfortunately, people are coming for a tikkah. And with their phone, they are getting involved in all these things in the masjid. And they are getting involved in all the filthiest, dirtiest things. So we have to look after our eyes. It's not only, and the people who are outside, they are keeping their rozas. They are going to their shops, their offices. And in the office, person is keeping a secretary. He's a dindar person. He goes for Hajj Umrah every year. He gives his chilla every year. He goes to his sheikh regularly. But his secretary is a female secretary. And they are trained that when they come and speak to you, they put their faces right into your face. They won't speak from a distance. They'll put them right close, and the perfume they are wearing, and how they are dressed, even if she's in burqa, dressed Islamically. But that also, so much that burqa is so enticing also. She will make her something on her head, and you can see the shape of the hair, or on how she is dressed. her face will be open, but she's a woman in parda. But all the fitna, the amount of jewelry she's wearing, the amount of perfume she's wearing, what a big fitna. So everywhere there are fitnas, they have to be very, very much more careful. And Abu Shaykh Rahmatullah say, these people who are so much involved with close association with other women, they say that we don't know why you Maulvis are so sensitive. You feel that something can go wrong. We the whole day with the woman and nothing goes wrong with us. We don't get any bad thoughts. So others say that butter which doesn't melt in front of fire is not butter. You're not a man anymore. You have lost completely all your man qualities. If you come in front of a woman, it's meant like that. You're going to things must happen. If nothing happens, then you're dead. You got no life in you. So this is a thing every person has to be very, very careful about. And the more you are sensitive of it, the more you will have manpower, your manhood, your stamina and your strength will be much more. Otherwise, you'll lose all of that and you'll be a useless person completely. So, and this is such an important thing, the control of the eyes. The whole Quran Sharif, every command, Allah gave it to the man. And in the cover of the man, Allah addressed the woman also. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, amanu is a sigha of the masculine sigha. So Allah addressed that. Aqeemu salah. Aqeemu is also a sigha, the address is to masculine, to man. Women are also commanded in all the commands. But when it came to parda, Allah separated it. So important it was. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ And say to the believing man, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ And separately, yeah, Allah didn't include it with the male command. Allah separately. So how important it was. But today, unfortunately, learned people are just like belittling it or making it a minor issue. Parda is not a major issue. But it is such an important issue, the control of the eyes. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was with his two of his wives, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the muazzin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also, and a blind sahabi and a very, very pious sahabi. He came there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately told his two wives, make parda. So they said, but isn't he blind? They say, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, are you also blind? As it is haram for man to look at woman, we don't realize it's haram for woman also to look at man. Even if they got their niqabs, their eyes are covered also, but they should not be looking at man. They also, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَ They also must keep their gazes low. They must not be, their gazes must not just be going on men. It doesn't mean that men, you can see if they are looking at other women. You can see this person is looking around. Women are in their niqab. And if the eye, and the eyes, there is also a sad part that many who call themselves niqabis, they got the niqab, but the eyes are open. And many women who regard themselves that they observe parda, but their faces are open. And they say there's difference of opinion, that you could leave your face open, you don't have to cover your face. The whole object of parda is to cut out all fitna between man and woman. And the fitna, the place of it is the face. The most attractive, the most place where you get attracted to is the face. Now if you're leaving your face open, then you are defeating the complete. And in the face, the eyes are very particular. People in one glance, they see the color of the eyes. And they see the shape of the eyes. What kind of eyes the person has got. So the eyes have to be covered. The face have to be covered. That is very, very important. On one occasion, we went to one place. And the alim there was promoting the idea that you don't have to cover the face for woman. So then I explained to them, and he was present there also, that the Quran Sharif says that when women become old, ليس علينا جناح أن يضعن ثيابهن. It is no harm on them that they don't wear their clothes. That's a literal translation. Now, if person, again, if you don't know mizaj of Quran and language of Quran, you'll make that translation. So what does that mean now when your woman has become old? She can drop all her clothes. What it means? The clothes of beauty. And her clothes of beauty which she's got under. Now she doesn't have to wear, usually when women become old, they don't wear all fancy dressing, clothing, etc. 80-year-old woman, she's not going to wear that with glitter and glamour which young girls wear. Young girls have got a different taste completely. Old people. We went to one place and the person, our host, he had a shoe shop. So he told his son, go and bring two pairs of shoes from the shop. One was for upper and one was for our granddaughter. So he brought the same kind shoes, old lady shoes. So the father got angry. He said, the old lady will wear old lady shoes. This young girl you brought for her old lady shoes? See, her tastes are different. So young people's tastes are completely different. Old people's tastes are completely different. So yeah, also, what was it? Yeah, so the clothes the women wear when they become old, now they wear very simple, pious clothes now. Usually white clothes, especially for a Jummah, they no more all that coloring and clothes which a pious woman will wear, permitted. They are, women are permitted, but they'll cover it up with a burqa. So that لَيْسَ عَلِيهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَن يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنْ. That is, now it is no harm when they have reached this age that the extra covering they have got, that they don't wear that anymore. So that means now at that age, if they don't wear that, they are permitted. But it doesn't mean they can take off all their clothes. Not at all. That's impossible to even think about. And the whole world knows, non-Muslims know, that Muslim people, they observe parda. Even if they don't practice it, but their deen teaches them parda. And this was, in fact, in all nations of the world. There is on record that about 100 years ago, the king of Austria, his wife's picture is there, where she is also in niqab. She is also and covered with burqa. It was even, the Christians were particular about it also. Yeah, in our country, the Afrikaner woman, they were very particular and very conscious also, not mixing with men. It is only now the enemies, shaitan, working through all the various agents that made it that now even our ulama, on TV panel discussion, they discussing openly with women and giving the impression to all that parda is not the important thing, whereas it is such an important thing in our deen and it is the fabric of society. If parda is gone, sharam haya is gone. If sharam haya is gone, there is no society left. Now it is all animals only. We will become all animals if there is no sharam haya. And sharam haya is directly connected with our dressing, how we appear, and our clothing. So it comes in the hadith sharif. لَعْنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala's curses on the person who looks at other women and the one who has presented himself or herself to be looked at. On the, both of them are Allah's curses. So if you are looking at woman on the street, on the phone, wherever, and that woman on the phone who presented herself to be uploaded like that, and you looking at her, Allah's curses are on her and you also. Even if you tell some pious people, they say, Maulana, look how the women are dressed. And astaghfirullah, how they are dressing today. But you are looking and you giving da'wat to look also. And you're telling Maulana, just see how the women are dressed today. So that istighfar of yours needs hundreds of istighfar also. And you doing haram and you inviting other people also to do haram. So this is a guna which we must keep roza of the eyes, that we don't look at any of the haram. Some people say, we are living in a life, like if you're a businessman, your customers are women also. Take precautions there also. If predominantly they are women, then keep women staff who will look after them. make a separate section for them. And for the males, keep them in a separate. But this, that the woman also, and really if our needs are such as it was very common, they will get, you need clothing. Somebody is selling clothing in their house. Go and buy it from there. You don't have to go to the top market shops and all that and go and browse around there. And your whole day goes in shopping and looking. You want to buy one item, but you are inspecting 20 items and checking prices for so many things. If you need something, you just go and buy it straight away. And today is the time again that has come. You can do your shopping online. Don't learn your deen online. And don't try and get deen in your life online. It will never come online. But your shopping you can do online. Matlab, you must look after our parda. Look after our eyes. And this is a very important aspect of our deen, to look after our eyes. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that an-nadhru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum. The eyes are an arrow of shaitan, a poisonous arrow of shaitan. In other words, every glance that you throw, every glance is a poisonous arrow of shaitan you are throwing. And if it hits its target, then you're a goner. In other words, if you're looking at a woman and she responds also to you, your life is gone. Your family life is gone. Your children's life, the respect and honor of the parents are gone. Everything is destroyed. So it's a very, very dangerous, poisonous arrow of shaitan. One glance of the eyes. And our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explained, normally all ulama will explain the masala that if you see a woman, then the first glance you didn't is marked. But Hazrat says this is in that place where you did not expect to see a woman. Then your first glance is where you expected to see a woman. You must take your precaution before time that your first glance doesn't fall. Like we are sitting in a masjid now, you don't expect a woman to come here. But if a woman walks in now, your eyes will, you'll see her. So there it will be marked. But you're in a shopping area, you're in the airport, etc., where you know they are going to be women, and you know how they are going to be dressed. Very, very important when we go to such places. You're going shopping, you're going to the bank, wherever you are going, and you know, before time, you must make qasde adame nazar. You make your intention that I'm not going to look. If you don't do that, you just go, that you don't make the intention of looking. I'm not going to look. I'm going for my job. And neither did you make the intention, I'm not going to look. So you are in neutral. And a person who is in neutral, he does both ways. If a car is standing in neutral and it's not in gear, the handbrakes are not on, you push it from the front, it will go front. You push it from the front, it will go back. It won't be firm. So even like this, that if we don't make the niyat, I'm not going to look, you will look, your eyes will fall. So where you expect woman to be, the duty is before time you don't look. And when we go to these places, also think, when we go airports, we are flying by air, 2 hours in the flight, 8-10 hours in the flight, and all the air hostesses in most cases, and then other passengers all, you are all amongst them all. When, and some of the effects still, even if you take 100% precaution, then after that, who of us goes and clean? After when we travel 8-10 hours or we gone to the hotel, first thing we want to go to the shower. That I didn't shower, I have to shower. But our spiritual dirt that accumulated, to shower from that, Maulan Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, in his time, India was a different India than today. Dunya-wise also, it was very one of the backward countries in the world. Today, India is a different country. And at that time, Mewat was the most backward. Maulana should go for his tabligh work to Mewat. And when he spent time there, a few days, and only for dini work, his contact was just with the masjid. But when he came back, he felt that dirt had settled. That is your islah. If you make it, you become sensitive that dirt has settled. And those who don't make out that dirt has settled, that means their islah is still not made at all. And they thinking my islah is completely made. And I don't need islah anymore. My murids must make zikr, I don't have to make zikr now. My zikr period is over, I did it by my share. Now I don't need it anymore. And you don't make out that now things have changed. On this one safar, going shopping, going banking, going to the airport, you are flying, and you don't make out that things now are not right, then your kurta, if it's white, and one black spot, you make it out. But when so much dirt, now you don't make out any difference. So when we have reached that condition, and we thinking we still clean, that person is in a very, very, very serious condition. That do we make Toba after we went shopping? When we went back to the airport, that, Ya Allah, my eyes did fall. You didn't want to, but your eyes did fall. But we don't make out anything. My iman is still the same. And where? Not at that high level what I'm thinking. It's right at the bottom where it hasn't started moving on its journey as yet. So we should be conscious. Mu'ayyad rahmatullah alayhi should make i'tikaf in his masjid. Go to the khankas of Gangoh, of Saharanpur, Raipur, and go and spend some time to remove that dirt again. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, towards the end of his life, he had to go for some eye operation. Then he met one great buzurg of ours. He said that after that, I had to go into i'tikaf. Because in the hospital, with all the nurses and all that coming and going and all that, it has an effect on a person. A person who doesn't feel that effect, whether he's got iman or not, is a question. If a person who has got iman, immediately he will feel that the crooks have come. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Pratap Gari Rahmatullahi, beautiful poems. Pas ba rehna apne dil ke e Ahmed. Apne haram e dil ke e Ahmed. You must be very careful and watch very, very tightly, closely the sacred places of your heart. Koi ghair na aajai. Any other person of the world mustn't come. For women are far off. Just the thoughts of dunya and enjoyment of dunya mustn't even come in. The heart is exclusive for Allah. The heart is exclusive for akhirat. Nobody else must come into the heart. And the haram, today we don't realize, Muslim home and architecture, there is the haram of the house. That means that part of the house which is exclusive for the house ladies. And no stranger must come there. They not allowed at all. And they look after that haram. They'll give their lives for the respect and honor of the woman. Our houses today were the whole change. There's no haram in our house. Which is a place. And the woman, Islamic parda, is not to make life difficult on woman. It is to make life easy and enjoyable. So in their haram, they know nobody else will come. So they can move around freely. They don't have to have their burqa. They don't have to have their shawls around. That in case somebody come quickly, I'll put my shawl on. Or I'll put my burqa on. They know nobody can come in that place. That is one basic concept of an Islamic home, which is not in our minds at all. Even if we are building my own house, I'm a Muslim. My architect is a Muslim. The contractors, builders are Muslims. But no Islamic system is in there. It is all a Western system. So anyway, so the sparda and the control of the eyes is very important. That many of us understand that we should not look at other women, etc. But equally also, guna of the eyes, which we have to train ourselves and correct ourselves, is not to look down upon any person. And not looking down on somebody is a guna worse than looking at other women also. Looking at other women and you get involved in guna, Allah, it's terrible guna. Zina is a terrible guna. But it is nothing compared to the guna of looking down upon somebody. And here in the masjid, I'm a maulana. Me, I'm my tahajjud guzar. And these people who have come, these are all, those drug addicts. They are here. So you look down. And just think for a while also. Generally, the drug addicts, They say, but we bad people. We are just involved in drugs and we, you people, you the pious people. You people are in the masjids all the time. You in a good environment. We are down and out. We are bad. A person who's got that attitude that I'm bad, I'm wrong. And the pious people, molanas and big shares. And we think that these people here, we think them also as down. They are write-offs. There is no future for them. There is no chance for them. I'm all right. Who stands a better chance by Allah? For the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala, who stands a better chance? That person who thinks I'm bad, I'm low. Or the person who thinks other people are bad and low. I'm all right. So also remember, and really, especially for the ulama, if we study Talbis Iblis of Imam Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, it will do ourselves a very great favor. That what all our deen khidmat we are doing, and lot of work of deen, and always in a pious environment, and always people of deen around us, and just little bit of pride has to come in us. That I'm good. See, how many people listen to me? I'm a big share. Or little bit of name and fame. People today, the people, they just listen to what I say and everything. A little bit of that with all your efforts of deen, by Allah, it's zero. And in fact, you are the first person that will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. For Jahannam's fire will be lit by you. So Shaitan, he says, I don't have to worry of these Maulanas also who are worried of how many people are following me on Twitter, how many people are following me on Instagram and all this other thing. And I can only say, for such people then automatically, when we're giving a bayan also, either I say what I want to say, and that is not permissible. Or I say what people like me to say. That is also not permissible. I have to say what Allah wants me to say. Even if it's bitter for me to say it. And I'm suffering from bitter bile when I speak this thing. But I have to speak it. That is what I have to say. I can't speak what I would like to say. I can't speak what the people. Today we are very selective. We'll speak on haq. The proper deen, everything. But we won't speak what has to be spoken. People's iman, the people are being robbed of their iman. They are being led to the fire of Jahannam. That we don't touch that subject at all. Because then you become known as a troublemaker, fitna maker. So I can't be called that. I have to look after my respect and honor. So I can't touch those subjects also. All haq I speak, whole bayan from beginning to end. I speak on namaz, I speak on mi'raj, I speak on great spiritual heights, everything. But what I have to speak, what Allah wants me to speak. When I was in Germiston before, then the issues are there also came. There were 10 years of imamah there. With the community, sometimes they want to bring in some wrong things. So Allah gave tawfiq. That time we were still very young. So I said, yeah, in the masjid, the imam's words are not going to go. It's not the imam who controls here. Mutawalli's words are not going to go. Musalli's words are not going to go. This is Allah's masjid, Allah's word will go. The imam must also follow what Allah commands, not what he wants to, or what he thinks is right or not right. Neither the mutawalli nor the musalli. This is Allah's house, yeah, Allah's command. We all have to find out what is Allah's command, and that is what will go in the masjid. Not in the community. Alhamdulillah, it was a close knit community. And things that happen even out of the masjid, but deeni matters, all controlled by the masjid. But all that also, not what I want must happen. Not what the mutawalli say. It's not their property. It's not a PTY limited that they are in charge and they can do what they want to. No, the everything, this is the house of Allah. And what Allah says, that is what will go in the house of Allah. So, all these matters about parda also, we must maintain the correct rules which Allah Ta'ala has said. And this is, if you want goodness in your life, purity of your mind, keep your eyes pure. If your eyes are impure, forget your eye, head, mind to be pure. And more or less, forget your heart to be pure. And Allah fil jasadi mudhatun. There is one piece of flesh in the body. Idha salahat salahal jasadu kullu. If it is good, the whole body will be good. And from the eyes, everything goes into the heart. What you hear, it goes into your heart. What you speak has an effect on your heart. So all these things, and if you make the heart your real headquarters, and the good things are there, from the heart it will control your eyes also. It will control your tongue also, your ears also, everything. So we have to see that we get our heart in order. And effect on the heart, what we are seeing continuously is having an effect. So this eyes of ours, sahmum min sihami iblis masmum, man tarakahu makhafati. A person who does not look at haram, he doesn't look down upon any person, he doesn't look at ghair mahram woman, and all this, the condition we must realize, makhafati, in the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Not as our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, that Shaykh is walking with his murids, and a woman is there in front, she's coming, and the Shaykh meets, he looks the other side, Toba, Astaghfirullah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He doesn't look at all. Then the Shaykh, khilaf e shara, thukta bhi nahi. Even when he wants to spit, he says, Qibla is not this side. I can't spit in the direction of, you have to respect Qibla. Lekin andere, ujale mein, chukta bhi nahi. But whenever he gets a chance of looking at other women, and he knows nobody is watching me, of people, then he looks properly. But like that, he's so particular on the small thing that against Shariat, he doesn't want to spit in direction of Qibla also. But when he gets the chance of looking at other women, then he opens his heart. Not only his eyes are wide open, his heart is also like this mosquito's mouth, so big. His heart is also so open. And all, not that medicine to kill the mosquito, all that women are also all entering through his big mouth that he has opened and his big heart. So our private life and our public life, it is very, very important. These type of mashayikh also, one mashayikh came to a town, and as he was walking with his murid, the people, suddenly he gave a sharp break. I don't know, what happened? Sharp break like this, walking, not in the car sharp break. While walking, he gave a heavy sharp break. And all the when you give a sharp break, how you the jerk and everyone just moves back. What happened? He say, you people didn't see. He say, where we got eyes? You people, big mashayikh, big awliya, ahlullah, you people got eyes. He say, the dog was entering Haram Sharif and I chased it out from there. Oh, the Shaykh Buzurgi and Payati, more famous now. That from here, they chased out the dog in Haram Sharif. So everyone, dhar, one way, dawat by my house, dawat by my house, full up, no place for any more dawat. One person say, okay, you can make his stinja by your house. You can't come in. For barkat, you can't come and have a meal, at least you can come make his stinja by my house. Dhar, one way, dawat. So one person whose wife was, whose aqidas were correct, and she knew, told his wife, make dawat. Say, no problem. Big buzurg came. But asked Hazrat, his namazes, we don't see him in the masjid. So he said, how can you can't ask Hazrat about, these are big people. You can't tell them. He said, but namaz is faraz, but jamaat has to be there. He got the husband to go. He went. He said, you gustaf, you're asking me about namaz. My namazes are made in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif. My namazes are made in the fourth heaven, Asman Omeh. Where are you asking me? He went to his, you see, I told you, what a big buzurg it is. We namaz are made, where we, in our little village and our namazes, our masjid, our imam, his namazes are made there. In Chauthe Asman, his namazes are made. So she said, okay, then we will invite him. So they invited, when they came, they sat down. So normally, the plates are there, and then the platters come with the food, everyone, she changed the whole order. And she sent food for everyone, plates, prepared the plates and sent them. And all the rice at the bottom, the chicken, the mutton on top, all the meat, etc. And she started giving all the other people. So the Shaykh again became very angry. Because of me, all are getting the dawat, all tofelis. They are coming because of me. If I was not here, nobody should get dawat. And they are getting first, and where's mine? I must get first. You intend to tell his wife again, you're going to kill me, you're going to destroy me. Shaykh will give one baddua, what will happen to me? Tell Shaykh that he is coming special. And these other people, they're just getting ordinary. He is special. So he felt, oh, yeah, when I'm getting special, then it's okay. So So when finally brought yeast, he said, she reversed the whole thing. Put the meat under and put the rice on top. And then say, good day. When he saw that, oh ho ho, there was no limit to his fire, his rage, his anger, that all his jailers, murid, they getting all the mutton, the sinkers, the chicken and that, and me plain rice I'm getting. So she said, he went back again to her. She says, I'm bringing his meat. And she came with that welang or that, what they stem their masalas, that big rod. And she gave him one shot. And she said, you big fraud, you can see the dog in Haram Sharif so many thousands of kilometers away. You can't see the meat under the rice, which is under your nose and under your eyes, you can't see the meat. So all this time, there are enough frauds like that. We have to be very special. That 1% inspiration must be from the right source. And every person, it's not his right, it's his duty to see that who am I following? Am I following the right person? When somebody gives you directions on the road, and you say, no, this person here is a drunkie. He doesn't know what he's sending me in the opposite direction. You're not going to follow him. You're going to follow somebody that you think is right. And it's our duty to see who we follow. Check out on the person. It isn't that you have to check out who you are following. Many people with many flowery talks, etc. But they are not the people to be followed. You must see who you follow. It's very, very important. That 1% inspiration from the right source and your 99% of perspiration, hopefully you will reach your destination of reaching Allah and the pleasure of Allah. Otherwise, puri zindagi ghaon par, naav par baithe rahe, kinara nahi mila. Your whole life you on your boat, you never docked in at the docks. You never came to land. You never came to the shores. You were just in the seas and the storms of the seas and the weather conditions of the seas and the salty wind that is blowing. You will be just in that hole. Idhar se udhar, udhar se idhar. Koi thikana nahi. You won't reach your destination. Very important to see that I'm getting my 1% inspiration and the correct. And I'm doing my 99% inspiration. It's not a bad matter of just being here. That also has got great benefit. But we have to work and then inshallah. So roza, one very important aspect of roza, roza of the eyes. And if a person just achieved that in his whole Ramzan, at the end of Ramzan, his eyes are under control. Like any person who is a diabetic, who's got high blood pressure, cholesterol, and he went for treatment, and one of his problems got sorted out. My diabetes is now zero. Alhamdulillah. Now that person will be above the, over the moon that I sorted it. Much more, wallah, one spiritual disease. Go out of our lives, we will make shukr. Then we will know the value of what is Islam, what is khanka, what is bayat. And if it's only all customary things, then it means nothing. All just the beautiful tags and decoration and coverings, it will be there, but no reality. So the reality is that our diseases must be going. So even if a person just learned to keep rozas of the eyes, and all the whole procedure we go through, that person, his real Eid is on Eid's day. And his real Eid is at the time of Maut, a person who purifies himself. So let us keep our rozas, which are called rozas. Rozas of the eyes, we don't look at any haram. Don't look down upon any person. Whatever, whoever a person is, don't look down upon him. We must always, that is also a very big guna of the eyes to look down upon somebody. May Allah bless us with the reality of Ramzan and the reality of Rozas and then realize the great value of this month and the value of Quran Sharif. May Allah give us all tawfiq.